Rewriting Humpty Dumpty.
The Marketplace Morning Report is produced in association with the University of Southern California.
From American Public Media in Los Angeles, I'm Scott Jagow. The old Ma Bell telephone system broke apart in 1984. Well, don't look now, but AT&T is trying to put it back together again. Yesterday, the company said it plans to buy Bell South for $67 billion. The deal would make AT&T an even more massive company with 130 million customers in 22 states. The Singular and Bell South names would likely disappear. Job cuts are expected, but first, the government's antitrust folks will take a close look at this one. It's week six of the Enron trial. So far, it hasn't been riveting courtroom drama for the most part. But tomorrow, we could see some fireworks. Chief Financial Officer Andrew Fastow is expected to take the stand. He's ratting out his former bosses, Ken Lay and Jeffrey Skilling. Lisa Roth reports.
Andrew Fastow is widely seen to have been key to the whole Enron fraud. That's why securities lawyer Louis Lowenfels thinks his testimony will be so critical.
And it may well be game time as far as the entire trial is concerned, because the verdict may well turn on the jurors' reaction to Mr. Fastow.
But that reaction will likely be tainted by doubts about Fastow's credibility. Former federal prosecutor and securities lawyer Robert Mintz says the government realizes Fastow's not likely to engender much trust with the jury.
So they are not going to ask these jurors to convict Mr. Skilling or Mr. Lay based upon the uncorroborated testimony of Andy Fastow. His testimony is simply one more piece in the puzzle.
Fastow agreed to testify against his former bosses in exchange for a more lenient sentence. He faces 10 years in jail. In New York, I'm Lisa Roth for Marketplace.
Despite China's gleaming new cities, more than half the people still live in the countryside. They've kind of been left out of China's economic boom, but some rural Chinese have taken to the streets to complain about it, and now it appears the government's actually listening. Ruth Kirshner tells us about a plan to spend billions on poor farmers.
The government's plan includes increases in grain subsidies, the scrapping of an agricultural tax, and higher spending on rural education and medical services. This year alone, spending on agriculture will rise to $42 billion. But Professor Joseph Chung at City University in Hong Kong says the impact will be limited.
The policies are in the right direction. Nobody will contest this. But the government does not have enough money to achieve the financial transfer necessary to lift the living standards of the rural population.
Other critics say the government does not address the main reason for discontent in the countryside. Chinese farmers aren't allowed to own land. Local authorities can seize plots and often don't pay adequate compensation. In Beijing, I'm Ruth Kirshner for Marketplace.
Fear not, BlackBerry people. Your email devices will still work today. The patent dispute over BlackBerry's technology could have resulted in a shutdown, but its maker Research in Motion settled the fight with a rival company for $612 million. RIM says it's not happy paying out that money, but it's, quote, taking one for the team. Not much to say about Wall Street from Friday. The numbers were down, but not by much. Today, GM said it's going to sell almost all of its stake in Suzuki, 17%. This is Marketplace. You don't know it, but I'm sitting on my couch right now at home. Okay, just kidding. But some 40% of federal employees are telecommuting, almost double last year's number. Hillary Wickay reports from the Work and Family Desk.
Advocates credit both increased awareness of telecommuting programs and the threat to agencies of losing some federal funding if more workers weren't considered eligible to commute by phone. Max Peterson is with CDWG, the IT company that conducted the survey. He says the vast majority of workers are comfortable with their peers telecommuting, but people still wonder what the boss thinks.
Roughly 50% of people felt like their bosses were favorably disposed to them teleworking. The other 50%, you know, they've got a question.
The survey also shows that those who telecommute are more satisfied with their federal jobs. They also feel that they're more likely to be able to keep working if the office was shut down due to an emergency like a storm or terrorist attack. I'm Hillary Wickay for Marketplace.
From American Public Media.
Marketplace Morning Report is supported by Mellon Financial Corporation, helping financially successful individuals and families protect and maximize their assets through the practice of wealth management. Mellon.com. By The Economist, the weekly publication of international news with commentary and analysis on world politics, business and finance, technology and the arts, on newsstands and at economist.com. and by Thrivent Builds with Habitat for Humanity, building 310 decent homes this year in partnership with families facing critical housing needs. ThriventBuilds.com.
This is Marketplace. I'm Scott Jagow.
And now it's time for the Sloan Sessions.
So a lot of people are in an uproar about this ports deal. The sale of a British company to a firm in Dubai would give a Middle Eastern company management oversight of six U.S. ports. Congress doesn't really like it. The president's taking a second look. Newsweek's Alan Sloan is with us. Hi, Alan.
Hey, Scott. What's going on in the world?
Well, you say you have a solution to this. By all means, let's hear it.
I do, and I've been wondering why no one has proposed it up to now, that this Dubaian company, which is owned by the government, which is what really matters here, take the U.S. ports business that's part of this peninsular and orient it's buying and put it in a special trust where the government of Dubai will have no control over it, but will own it. Everybody who's concerned that this is some sort of problem for national security can go right back home, roll over, and go back to sleep.
So where did you get this idea from?
This happens all the time. The world is full of companies that have a zillion different holdings, some of which are, you know, sort of oddball strategic things like, you know, working on nuclear power plants or sensitive military contracts. They get bought by a company that's not a U.S. company. The idea of this strategic technology being owned by non-U.S. citizens or controlled by it gets people worried. So they set up a trust. I mean, to me, this is an astounding display of people having no historical sense and in many cases no common sense because I could have solved this thing in 5 minutes if someone had asked me. And would you like to know how?
Yes, I would love to know how you would solve this.
Sure. I would have suggested to the president or Secretary Rice that one of them get the Emir of Dubai on the phone. Why don't you just put this thing in this trust voluntarily? It's called an FOCI trust. You'll still own it. You can do whatever you want with it financially. That way, you don't have a problem. We don't have a problem. Everybody gets to go home. You do it, and you're a statesman.
But, Alan, if this is so commonplace, don't you think someone would have mentioned this in the process?
Maybe they haven't thought of it. Maybe everyone on all sides is so inflamed and so full of pride that thinking has left the process if it was ever in it. If someone could show me why this doesn't work, I'm happy to listen. But until then, I'll just put it out there and see what happens.
Well, maybe someone is listening and your idea will be given some weight.
Possibly, you know, marketplaces carried in Dubai.
Not that I know of at this point, but you can listen on the web.
Right. The Emir will wake up and he'll hear us and say, by God, Sloan and Jago, those guys really know their business. Get me the ambassador.
All right, Alan, thanks a lot.
Take care, Scott.
Alan Sloan is Wall Street editor for Newsweek in Los Angeles. I'm Scott Jagow. Thanks for listening.
American Public Media.
007 loved his. It's a pity.
The world can be a confusing place for kids, and finding the words to explain it all can be tricky, too. Introducing Million Bazillion, a Webby-winning podcast from Marketplace that takes your kids on exciting adventures to answer the awkward and complex questions they have about money. Each week, we tackle hard-hitting inquiries from kid listeners like,
what is a college account and how does it work?
I want to know what unions are and what they are for.
Why does the U.S. have so much gold in Fort Knox and what do they use it for?
Help your kids understand how money fits into the world around us. Listen to Million Bazillion wherever you get your podcasts.